Hey church, welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. This is one of your pastors, Paul, and we are joined today by Kelton again. Kelton, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good afternoon.
Yeah, so we are excited to talk tonight, this afternoon, today, whenever you're listening to this podcast, to talk about Proverbs. So church, if you remember, on Sunday, June 4th, we started a sermon series in Proverbs, and we are just going to talk a little bit about the book, kind of give you a little bit of an introduction, some of the stuff that you maybe heard on Sunday morning, but a little bit greater detail, and talk about our sermon series and what that's going to look like this summer. So Kelton, can you just start us off? Who are the author and the recipients of Solomon, the book of Proverbs?
Well, you said it there. Yeah. The book of Proverbs is primarily written by the king of Israel, Solomon. That is David's son who reigned over Israel. We see that in the first verse, right? So Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. So if you remember your biblical history, King David dies at the end of the book of, well, really the beginning of the book of 1 Kings, and Solomon begins his reign as a young man. So we have his prayer in chapter 3 for wisdom. So Solomon, with his task as a young man to reign over God's people, is humbled and asks God for wisdom. And then we read of in chapter 4 of the Proverbs that Solomon wrote in his wisdom. It says in chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. And then particularly it says in verse 32, he also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So, yeah, this what we have in the book of Proverbs is a collection of Solomon's proverbs. But we understand it to be what would we call an edited volume, that Solomon didn't write it in the form that we have it. We see that particularly in chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 1 tells us that beginning there in chapter 25 are some of the Proverbs of Solomon. It says, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied. Mm-hmm. So it seems later under the kingship of Hezekiah in the southern kingdom, yeah, that there were some more Proverbs that they copied to make this book. But there are more authors than that. It says in chapter 30 that we have some of the Proverbs or the words of Agur, son of Jakeh. We don't know much about Agur. And then particularly in chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel. So yeah, it certainly is a collection of Proverbs by more than just Solomon. And certainly the recipient of this, you could see it all throughout the book of Proverbs, but Solomon was writing this or leaving these Proverbs particularly for his son, the future king of Israel, so that he would reign in wisdom, in justice, mm-hmm. in righteousness, just as he would. But of course, obviously, this is part of God's inspired scripture. So it's not just for the king's mm-hmm. son, but for all of Israel to walk in the way of God's wisdom. And now, as Christians, part of the Christian scripture, it's for every Christian mm-hmm. By the Holy Spirit, given for our wisdom as well.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for walking us through that. So it's a book written by Solomon in general, written mm-hmm. to his son, at least as the initial recipient of the book, but as we've seen, both beneficial for all of Israel. What was the faithful king, the king who is faithful? He is a faithful Israelite.
Yep.
And
yep.
And now as those who are in the true king, Jesus, it's for us as well. So as you think about the book of Proverbs, what's the structure in general and maybe the big idea of the book?
Yeah, like we mentioned on Sunday, you know, normally when you think of a proverb, you think of those kind of pithy one-liners, a nugget of wisdom. But those don't really start in the book of Proverbs, at least in earnest, until chapter 10. Mm. Chapter 10, verse 1 starts the Proverbs of Solomon, and it goes on to list those Proverbs. So really the main meat of it is chapters 10 through 29, where you have those Proverbs, and not necessarily any particular order to those. Mm-hmm. What you have before chapter 10, chapters 1 through 9, are what you might just call the introduction. But really the theme of those is to their various kind of discourses or speeches given to the king's son to encourage him to pursue wisdom and warn him against the ways of folly. So they're more kind of speeches. And then what you have in chapters 30 and 31 are kind of a conclusion. Chapter 30, we understand that unfortunately, the king's son does not choose wisdom. Mm-hmm. We learn there in chapter 30. And then 31 it's famous for its picture of the wife, the woman who fears the Lord. Mm-hmm. But there's that picture of a future hope of a king who will choose a woman like this, who will choose to follow wisdom. Mm. Yeah, so that's a general structure of it. The big idea, the main kind of argument of it is shown for us in that introduction. So at the beginning and end of the introduction, you know, 1-9, we see this same idea repeated. So I think chapter 1, verse 7, you see this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then again at the end of the introduction in chapter 9, in verse 10, it repeats the same thing. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm. So really, the main idea, the big idea, is encouraging us that wisdom, that knowledge, is found in fearing God. And again, that's what we said on Sunday, is that that's not a fear of you know, what you might experience in a haunted house, yeah. Right? This is not to be scared of him,
right.
But it's a synonym for to be in awe of him, the kind of feeling you feel in your soul when you step up to the edge of the Grand Canyon to see the grandeur, the majesty of something far beyond your power, far beyond your beauty. It's reverence, it's awe that wants you draw in, to draw closer, to worship, and understanding that majesty to bow in obedience and follow, obey this one. So yeah, it's really calling us to have that kind of fear, to make God big in our eyes, and then therefore to as the gravitational center of our life, to orient our life around how he calls us to live, to walk in his ways.
Yeah, that's great. And I think helpful here, thinking about then, yeah, that the book of Proverbs is not just about you or me, that it is about God. And it is a book that is, teaching us practically how we ought to live in God's world. Mm-hmm. But how do we live in God's world? Well, it starts with first fearing him. Yes, so it's a book that is certainly practical, but it is theological and teaching us about who God is and what he is like, even as we see what it's like to live in his world. I think also, just kind of as Colton, you and I have been studying for this sermon series, one thing that I found helpful thinking about the structure is we would expect this kind of like pithy statement, kind of meaty part of the book, because teaching wisdom to our children looks like that. So I've heard a pastor talk about this as we've prepared for this. He talks about it like, yeah, when you're teaching your children about what it looks like to follow the Lord, you don't pick one topic on Monday and then you pick another topic on Tuesday and then another topic on Wednesday, but it's like as life's going on, right? So as you're dealing with disobedience, you're talking about what it means to obey, and then you're the next, you know, maybe a little bit later, you're talking about what it looks like to live as friends amongst the world, or they had a fight with a friend, and then a couple hours later they're fighting with their mom. They're not honoring and listening to their mom, so you're teaching them about that. And so I think that's why we have that kind of topical nature of 10-29 in particular, is that that's just what it looks like to give wisdom. It is messy in some senses. Well, thinking about that then, with that idea, kind of the basic context of who wrote Proverbs and the structure of it, why is are we taking time here in this summer series to think about Proverbs for our church in particular, for Stafford Baptist?
Yeah, the easy answer is because it's God's word, and 2 Timothy 3 tells us that the scriptures are given by God for our good, for our reproof, for our correction, for our growth, that we might be equipped for every good work. But particularly thinking about how Proverbs uniquely adds to that, I thought of James 3. James 3, the conclusion there, particularly in verses 13-18, talk about the benefits of wisdom, the fruit of wisdom. It talks about wisdom from above. I'll just read verses 17 and 18 of James chapter 3. It says, "The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So yeah, certainly the wisdom that we get from God, the wisdom from above, James 3:17 talks about, God's wisdom taught in his word, like in Proverbs, it bears wonderful fruit for us, right? Mm-hmm. It says purity, peace, gentleness, reasonableness, mercy, impartiality, sincerity. And then in verse 18, that talks about a harvest of righteousness. That's a blessing for us, these kinds of things, for us as individual Christians. But especially as a church, we want to be a community marked by these kinds of things, the fruit of heavenly wisdom from above. The book of Proverbs is instruction in how to live according to God's wisdom. Helps us not only understand what God's wisdom is, but it is given by God to help us desire that wisdom, to see its beauty, and it encourages us to seek it. So I think that's one of the real benefits for our church in studying the book of Proverbs.
That's great. Yeah, we do different sermon series throughout the summer just to give the church a little break. And this sermon series in particular is going to be a lot different from others, even from what we do maybe in the Psalms. Or can you walk us through what the sermon series will look like starting, we started on Sunday, what it will look like going forward?
Yeah, so this ties into the structure of the book that we've already talked about, right? Chapters 1 through 9 are introduction. So we're going to finish that out because we've already, as a church, preached through chapters 1 through 7. Mm-hmm. So last week we were in chapter 8. This next week we'll be in chapter 9, as we always do. Preach expositionally, consecutive passages in Scripture. Mm-hmm. But with the transition into chapter 10 in the week following, we're going to rather address it topically. Mm-hmm. So we've gathered a handful of topics to address this summer. That we're going to kind of comb through the book of Proverbs, chapters particularly 10 through 29, and kind of collect its wisdom on various topics and preach those. So they'll be more what we would call topical sermons. Certainly we'll be rooting those in a handful of Proverbs from those chapters 10 through 29, but really gathering them by topics. Yep. So this summer we selected a few topics that we can add to them in years to come. This summer, we'll be considering particularly our words, reproof and correction, one sermon on reproof and correction, Proverbs wisdom on family life, on our emotions, on friendship, on money, and on work. So these are just a few of the topics that the Proverbs address that Solomon wrote to his son to give him wisdom in. So we'll be considering those topics this summer as we go.
Great. Well, brother, as you've been thinking through this sermon series, reading through Proverbs in your own personal life, do you have a favorite proverb that you can share with us?
Yeah, this is a very hard question. So many. So I limited myself to three different categories. The first one I recall memorizing as a Christian is Proverbs 8:22, Young in My Marriage, that says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord." So there's just a special spot in my heart for that. Remembering the good gift of God in my wife in particular, but that God gives to all in their spouses. It's a good thing and favor from the Lord. Mm. Though I would say probably the one that I reference most in my thinking is Proverbs 15:1. It's a well-known proverb. Again, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So really setting out the wisdom there of how to respond, showing the way of wisdom is a soft answer, and the way of folly is a harsh word that would further exacerbate anger. Proverbs 15:1. But yeah, really, I think the one that helps me fight common temptation the most is found in Proverbs 30, the words of anger there, and in particularly some part of verse 8 that says, "A request to God, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that is needful for me." Mm. And just the encouragement there to be content, to ask the Lord for contentedness in our material possessions. Yeah, that's really helped me battle against discontentment.
Praise God. Wonderful. Well, thanks for sharing. I hope, brothers and sisters, you can take a minute, stop the podcast, think about a favorite proverb, call it to mind, remind yourself of it. I hope you're getting excited to the rest of this series, to listen together as we work through this in the rest of June and July. Brother, can you just share with us, how have you been studying the book of Proverbs, kind of getting ready, and maybe one way that you can, we can pray for you. As you and I work to preach this book.
Thank you, brother. There's nothing exciting about this. This is what we do when we approach every book we're going to preach: is to read it, quickly, to get the picture of the big picture, the whole, but also to read it slowly, to soak in every detail. They're interconnected. So even if I'm just preaching on one particular passage or theme, right, we want to know how it fits in with the whole thing.
Yep.
So yeah, by God's grace, we've been reading it in our Bible reading plan, kind of interspersed in the year, but also just making a concerted effort recently to pick up some chapters and read them as well. I have been listening to some other helpful teachers teach on it, just recordings I've been able to find online, and particularly giving some understanding of the big picture of Proverbs and then maybe some more kind of questions about particulars. In terms of things to pray for, obviously pray that we would, we're coming fresh off of a sermon in Matthew 23 of Jesus condemning hypocrisy, particularly in religious leaders, where he encouraged his disciples to listen to what they say, but do not do what they do. So pray for your elders, church, please. Pray for those who preach to you that we would practice what we preach, that we would put off any masks of hypocrisy, that we would have wisdom, that God would graciously give it to us, and that we would live in the obedience that we're called to here in the book of Proverbs.
Amen. Yeah, well, we will do that, brother. Commit to praying for that. Any last recommendations to the church as they prepare and continue in hearing the sermon series in Proverbs this summer?
Yeah, I think probably the first thing that comes to mind is for you as well, church, to read it along with us, and certainly be reading the passages that we'll be preaching. But because of the topical nature of many of the sermons, I would encourage you just to read the whole book. And a great way to do that, if you've never heard this is a great tip, that because there are 31 chapters of Proverbs and 30 or 31 days in a month, just whatever day it is, today is the 7th, so you would pick up your Bible and read Proverbs 7. So even if you miss a day, it's a great way to read through the whole book, and to do that here in June, and to do that again in July, and kind of read through the whole thing. So it's a great way to read through the book twice during our sermon series.
Excellent. Well, Kelton, thanks again for leading us in that, getting us started off here in Proverbs 8 and Proverbs 9, looking forward to hearing as you continue in that as we go. Church, I hope you're excited and eager. Please pray for us and come ready to hear God's word and gain wisdom from above as we go. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday.